Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Honey, the power's out.
Flashlight's dead. Can't find batteries.
Hey, neighbors. Want to borrow my Star Patrol spotlight?
That flashlight lights up the whole house.
Watch. The Star Patrol can light up the whole neighborhood. It can illuminate up to a half mile away.
A half mile? That's insanely bright.
And the Turbo Boost increases brightness up to 100%.
Whoa, now that's insanely bright.
With 10 illumination modes, the Star Patrol is a flashlight, spotlight, floodlight, emergency light, and more. And with an ultra-fast USB power bank, you can even charge your phone with it. Plus, the Star Patrol is fully rechargeable and backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
So how do I get one of these Star Patrols?
Go to GetStarPatrol.com and you'll get it with free Turbo Boost, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. Again, that's GetStarPatrol.com. GetStarPatrol.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Is this something where they need to take a look at these vulnerabilities a little more closely and go, or a lot more closely, and go, look, in the past this did work and now it doesn't, so we got to get our guys out here, especially for something like that. A lot of times, I mean, at least in modern day, you're not going to get very close to the president with a weapon. You can be pretty far away and maybe get to the president with a weapon, which I would think that'd be almost a bigger vulnerability almost in situations like this on a rooftop than just right next to him. He's got his pretty tight circle there. Out there, it's very weak. Why are we putting the weakest of individuals to patrol those areas when it is the weakest of spots?
I don't think they had anything else to work with. I think you work with what you got. And I also think, again, I go to the psychological side of this, which mm-hmm. always is full of conjecture on my part. But sure. I think because his crowds tend to be so extremely pro-Trump that you get lulled into thinking, who would possibly come here to shoot Trump? This is nothing but Trump country. See what I mean? So it kind of lets your guard down. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, think about this. Trump is pro-Second Amendment. And when you're in a place that has, in Pennsylvania, in a rural area, that people generally have a lot of guns, you see someone walk around a gun, you see the Second Amendment kind of Trump guy, and you're like, it's just guy with a gun, of course.
And that was kind of the attitude around there. I mean, and honestly, you know, statistically, if you were to look at this, it's not the crowd that you'd think that this would be happening at. I would suspect it'd be more danger the other way around. One group certainly has far more arms than the other. Not a political statement, just a fact. Right. So I guess I understand what you're saying, where it's you do kind of let your guard down. We're all human, so we just tend to think that, well, it's less likely that that's going to happen. But the fact that they even had people at a certain perimeter with a weapon, and people, that's the other part of this that shocks me is this. You had people out there before the shots were fired going, there's a gunman on the roof. And it took as long as it did for something to happen to stop him. That, to me, is shocking. It's not just something, it's not a small event here that we're talking about. We're talking, again, about the former president. And nobody seems to know what the hell to do. And you have the officer that did retreat, too, which that's going to be with him for the rest of his life. But again, you see the gunman, and he doesn't know what to do with a gunman on the roof that's not a sniper for the police, for the Secret Service. How did this happen?
So I really think this, I interviewed someone for my podcast a couple years ago now, and his last name is Bowman, and he actually does an analysis of these kinds of threats all over the world. Matter of fact, he covered the Ariana Grande concert in the UK, where someone saw something, even a cop saw something, and he said, and he was afraid to what to do, and the place blew up and people died, even though he saw something. Mm-hmm. Because, and why? The trickle down of empowerment and decision making wasn't at his level. He said, I have to check with the supervisor. I got to check with the supervisor. And so I think that's what the follow up from Secret Service, who's lead on this, really needs to do a better job for that, for all the people that are. It's important to remember, I think, when you're doing something this critical, everyone's a tip of the spear. Every single law enforcement out there is a tip of the spear. A lot of times people think there's one tip of the spear. It's a protection detail right around the president or the former president. Everyone else is just a shaft of the spear supporting that. And there, and a lot of times with cops, at if you're not the lieutenant or the sergeant, you never feel like you're in decision-making, you know, mode. You know, you always have to check. You always have to call in. And so it's very hard to, I think, again, pure conjecture from the individuals here, but it's hard psychologically getting out of the mindset, I got to check with someone before I take this kind of action. Because when you deal with life or death situations, and I mean, think about it. So let's play this one forward. Here's a cop crawling up on the roof. He sees a guy with a gun and he shoots him before this guy takes a shot. What's going through that cop's mind? Given everything that's happened in society these days, what's going through that cop's mind? He sees a 20-year-old young kid on the roof with a rifle, and he's about to kill him before he takes any action.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is actually going through that cop's mind?
You know, is this, should I do this? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to, I mean,
is this real? Is this not real? What am I supposed to, what I mean? It's that pause, because he doesn't actually have a rep in doing that. He has been told, if you see something like this, you are completely authorized without any repercussions about you and your family to shoot and kill.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously doubt that conversation ever happened.
And that's I think the key thing here. People aren't empowered where they need to be in situations like this. And then that's where the pause comes in. Another thing that ran through my mind that day was Uvalde, where we had literally about 300 officers standing outside of school with one kid inside with a high powered rifle. And everyone's just like, we don't know what to do. We're waiting for the orders. That was mind boggling. But it's very similar, it seems, to what happened here. Those were a bunch of innocent little children. And here's a former president, and we still have the same sort of issues.
The only thing that overcomes fear, and it wasn't necessarily he's fearing his own life, he's fearing the impact of what he's about to do of everywhere. The only thing that overcomes fear is training, reps, rehearsals, empowerment. You know, and so that's what was missing.
Are we going to see a change, you think, in training and protocol and things like this going forward after seeing just the weakness of this event? I mean, it's crazy that, you know, this hasn't happened yet with all the children who have died in schools. Mm-hmm. But is this going to do anything? Is this going to move the needle?
I would think so. You know, because I don't consider myself to be an incredibly smart man. But if I can see it from, you know, the 60,000 foot looking at it in the media level, you'd think, you know, as I know really smart people inside these organizations that, you know, they've diagnosed this as well. And once you diagnose the problem, you can correct it. Because a lot of these things, even with manpower issues, you can overcome manpower issues with training.
Yeah.
You know, with not just training, but getting those reps in, getting those rehearsals in. So you can take someone. So say 15, 20 years ago, you'd have someone on those outer perimeter that was like 35, 45 years old with, you know, 20 years on the force already. Now you're getting someone maybe 20 years old, same age as a shooter out on the outer perimeter. They don't have those life reps yet, but through rehearsals, through teaching, mentoring, and guiding, then follow up on those rehearsals, you can get someone up to speed quicker if you focus on it. They won't be the same as someone with the wisdom of someone with the education experience, but they can get closer because you're focusing and letting them know how important the role is. A lot of times people have no idea how important their role is. They say, I'm just on the outer perimeter. Who cares? No one cares about me. You know, I can't believe I got to come on my day off. Okay, I'm getting paid overtime. Where's my sandwich? Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, when I was in the FBI and told I was got to do security details for the UN General Assembly, for all the tennis matches out there, for the Goodwill games, we worked with Secret Service a lot.
Yeah.
I never had any idea what actually my role and responsibility was than just be present with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
See what I mean? There's no training. There was no reps. There was no rehearsals of just in case you see this, do that. I was told who the team leader was. If you see something, call a team leader. See what I mean? I was not empowered to do anything. If you see something strange, call a team. I remember one time I was out actually at the tennis matches out in Flushing, New York. The big one, I can't remember what they're called out there. But we're out there, and as we're walking around, a buddy of mine with all the command posts and protection and everything, someone was walking around, and someone in front of us actually had a laser dot on the back of their head. And we were like, oh my God, everyone get down. I mean, we really called everyone get down. And so we found some moron kid with a pen. That was, and we pulled him aside. I said, dude, you're going to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
But no one trained us to do that. We just saw it. And why did we see that? Because we just saw about on TV, something had happened where someone was doing these laser dots, and terrorizing people with them. All not because I was trained, but because I saw something on TV.
Sure.
So I think rehearsals and really empowerment with people in these critical types of situations is really key and important.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.